Chamonix.
January 18th, 1917.
January 18th. That was a mountain in California. And that temple started, was started by, not only temple, but a whole, not exactly farm, but a whole land community. So that was started by several of Prabhupada's disciples. And it was like a breakaway group. So they were very eager to have Gurudev, to see what he was like and how they could help him get closer to Prabhupada. So Gurudev was in the manor, and then he went to Los Angeles, the ISKCON Los Angeles temple, and he went to the garden, where Prabhupada's garden, where they had a whole seat for Prabhupada, where Prabhupada used to meet with scholars and scientists and bodhis. So then Gurudev went to Badger, and there was a big welcome ceremony for him. But then he announced that when I was at the manor, Prabhupada told me I'm not here. Then when I went to L.A., when I went to the garden, he came up to me and embraced me, and he told me, I'm half here. And but now in Badger, he told me, I'm fully here. Because Srila Gurudev was being honored properly as Srila Prabhupada's successor. So when we were in the manor, as according to the GPC schedule, they escorted Gurudev out of the class, out of the temple room, at the time of the class. And they took him up to Prabhupada's museum, where there were so many memorabilia and artifacts of Srila Prabhupada when he had been at the manor back in the 70s. So one of the sannyasis, this kind of sannyasis, was showing Gurudev around, and but he wouldn't give Prabhupada Gurudev a seat. So there was about 30 of us who were with him, of his disciples and followers, and then there was about another 30 of the ISKCON devotees who had left the temple room to come up and be with Gurudev and the in Prabhupada's quarters. So Gurudev was standing, we were all standing around him, and right in that standing position, Gurudev gave a class about how he had met Srila Prabhupada 50 years earlier, 46 and 47, and what were their different exchanges together. So that was very interesting, showing how no matter what the obstacles are, Gurudev will do his acharyaship. So in Badger, because the people were very receptive to him, he immediately started telling how Prabhupada wants us now to not only do the external aspects of devotional services, but to also have an internal life as well. And he was, for example, explaining the various moves for performing arati, like not taking a long time with the camera, and doing all kinds of fancy things and getting involved with how fancy I am. Because then Krishna is saying, I'm hungry, because Krishna is just now coming home from the cow. He's not a stone statue or a marble statue. He's just coming back from cow herding. And he's thinking, I'm hungry and this person is doing exercises. I'm leaving. So we think we're doing our duty to Krishna, but then he's just walking away. So he's saying how gradually, if Prabhupada were here physically, he would tell us what Gurudev is telling us, which is that he wants us to have more of an inner life now, not as a substitute for the outer life, but as an amendment, an addendum rather, another side of it. So he's saying that when you do arti, evening arti, you can think, for example, that Krishna is just coming home, and Mother Yasoda is offering arti to Krishna. And whereas we do the handkerchief, she's taking her veil and wetting her veil, the corner of her veil, and wiping the dust and other marks over Krishna, which she assumed had come from playing with his cowherd friends. And meanwhile, behind her, a little bit away, the young gopis are doing arti with their eyes, with their sidelong glances, and Krishna is considering that arti more important, and he's reciprocating by his sidelong glances. And within the sidelong glances, volumes of books are being, books worth of discussion are being exchanged. And he was also explaining that the goal is not to get more and more gold on the altar, but the goal is to more and more think of Krishna and his pastimes and qualities and the prayers. And that would be the increase in the opulence. In Badger, I don't remember whether it was the first year or the second year, back in 1966 or 67, Srila Gurudev began straightening us out in terms of the gradation of devotees. And then he began, once he began it there, practically every year, at least in one country. Santi, are you taping this? It's okay to have it back there. So at least in one city, in the different countries that he went to each year, at least in one city, if not more, every year, once he began it in 96, he just continued it every year. And that is talking about the five kinds of devotees. Because now we want to be major. For example, when you're in general public school and when you're in high school, junior high school, and the beginning of college, you take all subjects. And nothing is more important than anything else. No matter what you're going to be when you grow up, you still take electronics, and that's one of your courses. Electricity. And you learn how to connect different wires to make the electricity work. So, we were learning about all the different devotees. And now, Gurudev was saying, he began saying, and he continued saying, so now, I am putting the spotlight on Prabhupada's book to show you what he really wants to say and how he really wants to say it. He said that just like, I remember I'm picturing him right now in the, in Nirguna's house, in Nirguna's temple room. And he wanted to show us what our relationship with him was in relation to our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So he said, when a child is young, the parents give a bond to the child, even when they're 5, 6 years old, the parents give a bond, say a $5,000 bond. But they can't give it to the child when he's 5 or 6 years old because the bubble gum is. So he keeps it in a safe or in a bank, and then gradually that bond matures. And then when he comes to a certain age, 20 or 21 or whatever, then he's able to cash that bond. So Gurudev said, what I'm going to give you now is the bond that Prabhupada kept for you. He was maintaining you all these years, and he kept his special bond. And we saw that whatever we were learning to do from Srila Gurudev was already there in Srila Prabhupada's book, but we couldn't see it. And therefore, he stressed over and over again that I am putting on a very strong spotlight on Srila Prabhupada's book. And I am giving you the key to unlock the treasure chest of Srila Prabhupada's book. So in that year, he was telling about the different gradations of bhaktas and bhakti, so that we know that we're on the right path and we don't get stuck following someone fully when we only need to follow that devotee in certain areas. So, for example, he would tell us that Dhruva Maharaj is a Kam Bhakta, Prahlad Maharaj is a Jnani Bhakta. I think most of you are familiar with different types of devotees. And higher than, are you? Anybody here not familiar with the five kinds of devotees? Not.
Okay.
So I'll just run through them quickly, because he did say them over and over again. First there's the Sakam Bhakta, who's really not in the category of Uttam Bhakti, although the others are. So all this time, like from the 60s and the 70s, we've been reading about Dhruva Maharaj, and it's so interesting because how Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev work together, because Prabhupada went through great lengths to give every single verse and purport to the 10 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there was several chapters on Dhruva Maharaj, several chapters on Prahlad Maharaj. But what is the relationship of why one is higher than the other, that we would know who to follow how much, and then who to follow more? He delineated very carefully. And it wasn't something that was just coming from his thought process, but it was coming from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Just as Srila Prabhupada would always quote from scripture, so similarly Srila Gurudev was showing us that he was following in Prabhupada's footsteps and doing the same. And at the same time, giving us a shovel to dig more deeply into Prabhupada's book. Because it was also back in 1996, in England actually, which was his first stopover, that he clarified that we never fell down to the Goloka Vrindavan. And at that time, his main translator was Navadvip Prabhu, who he had research All the Prabhupada's books come up with so many quotes proving that Jiva never saw from Goloka Vrindavan, which although Gurudev is not Srila Prabhupada's initiated disciple, and although we were Prabhupada's initiated disciple, we learned back in 1996 that only the Mahabhagwat can understand another Mahabhagwat. Even if he's not, even the Diksha Guru, the Diksha disciple, doesn't have the access to understanding Guru if he's on a lower level of bhakti. And the Shiksha disciple, if he's on a higher level of bhakti, because only one can understand Mahabhagwat through the teachings of another Mahabhagwat. And that was a big eye-opening to us. Especially me, because I was one of Prabhupada's 10 first disciples, so I was year-wise so senior. Really, I knew nothing. Everything was there, but I couldn't connect with it because of my lack of experience in sanskar. So, in England, he established that. And in Badger, he began explaining about the five kinds of buses. He said, we want to follow Dhruva Maharaj. How? In the fact that he was so determined that he gave up eating and drinking in order to get the darshan of the Lord. Finally, in the 6 months, he was only eating air, and he was only taking one breath of air every 12 days. And then, we want to follow Prahlad Maharaj further, because he's a Premi Bhakta. He doesn't have any material desires, like Dhruva Maharaj. He has full awareness that Nrsimha Bhagavan is the Supreme Lord, all-pervading, omniscient, omnipotent. So we want to follow Prahlad in the sense that he preached, even at the danger of risking his life, he preached. He glorified the Supreme Lord when his demoniac teachers were out of the room. And his teachings are so wonderful, even his little students, fellow students, that now that we try, now is the time to take a finishing class, don't wait the time. But later on, it gets more and more difficult. But we don't want to follow him in the sense that he knows that the Lord is omnipotent, and therefore he never rendered any personal service to him. Like even after the Lord went through all that endeavor of becoming his father, he inspired him, still provided him with something in the last quarter. He didn't think that he was much of an uncertainty, but he had so we want to follow the Lord in terms of his tolerance, that is, the Father kept his strength to us, but the Lord kept glorifying the Lord and his strength to serve. He was given voice to know what to say, but he was just fully absorbed in Krishna and wasn't concerned at all. And Krishna protected him from all kinds. And he saw a very beautiful love. But the soul of the three souls. Not a great time. It's that way. Not a great time to take away money. But we don't want to follow him ultimately because we want to become personal servants of the Lord. Like one time, in 1968, so Prabhupada called us all different methods
So we were in the Boston temple, closed up the temple, and came to meet in New York. So I told her, I was like, yeah, closed up the whole temple. He came to see you. Then he closed the temple, and he meeting in there. You should be like what you showed us, I think. Why don't you teach us to know God? Of course, we don't, we can't imitate that. But we want to come to that. Then Rudy was explaining that the higher than Swatamara is Maharaj Maharishi, who was always engaged in personal service to the deep, and was always absorbed internally in Baba Bhakti, meditating on the pastimes of the Lord and his others. And even though his life was threatened, he wanted to go and serve. And at the same time, he prayed for the welfare of the person who tried to kill him. That's very intense. Higher than him is Hanuman. Because although Amrish Maharaj is based in 36 feet, as we do, and internally, in his heart, he engaged in meditating on the Lord's pastimes and serving in his heart. He wasn't saying he was going to die next service. So next time, he couldn't stop serving the Lord Ram for even a moment. Then higher than him is the Pandava, who also always went to serve as Krishna. But because there is a day in which we can be, we must sleep, that is Krishna, what is Krishna is more complete than God, God is the standard. So the Pandavas are higher than Hanuman, and also because they had more mamata than Hanuman. That is, Krishna is my cousin brother. Krishna is my friend. Not just that, the Lord is my master. So it's more intimate. But it also has its limits, because sometimes they also think that he's God. Sometimes a friend or a relative, but sometimes God. Like Arjuna, he's very friendly with Krishna. Then when Krishna reveals his universal form, the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said, oh, please forgive me that I called you friend and sat on the same bed as you and ate the same plate as you. He said, excuse me, now I realize you're the Supreme Lord. So it seems like that's a credit, it actually is heaven. But Gurudeva was explaining that higher than that of Yashoda, who when she saw the universal form, thought that she just thought that the most one. Said, okay, close your mouth, don't need to turn again. And higher than the Pandavas is Uddha. Because Uddha was addressed by Krishna, so Vrindavan, so Gopi. And he began to worship the Gopi and pray to become slaves of wrath in Vrindavan so that the Gopi run fast and they would go to meet with Krishna at night and or meeting in the morning. And thus he was saved by the Krishna. And then when he came back from Vrindavan, he related his pastimes of the Gopis and Hari Yashoda and Nandababa to Krishna to relieve Krishna's separation from death. And then Uddhava, Gurudev was telling the history of Uddhava, he said that when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, even though he was Krishna's friend, his counselor, his advisor, his cousin, his prime minister. He was thinking he was the best devotee. Then when he went to Vrindavan, he saw the gopi. He saw that he was looking, he chanted at the bottom of Mount Everest. And looking up at Mount Everest. And looking so far up that his axles lost his hat. He says, what did you see there in Vrindavan? He saw Radharani sleeping with the bumblebee. Then, anger and separation. So people, and chastising the bumblebee as they, what's the word, as a messenger who's full of sorrow, messenger of a master who's full of fault. That's why messenger. But the love and separation of Radharani was expressing is so high that Krishna, although was kind of it, because of their relationship with him as a relative, he served them by shoeing their horses, grooming their horses. So with the gopis, especially Radharani, he was so eager to experience her love and separation and her song to the bumblebee, that he was the one who named that bumblebee, just to experience that. So that was just a short nutshell of the elaboration that Sri Gurudev gave here, there, and everywhere on the five kinds of devotees. Then he had several major themes in his story. He did 31 tours, can you believe it? If we consider that he traveled for 15 years, traveled abroad, for 15 years, from 96 to 2010, and each year he travels, practically each year he travels twice. So that comes to about 34. At the age of 75 up to 90, 85, 90. He was traveling around the world in all kinds of conditions. Sometimes even on night flight, sometimes all day flight, sometimes when he had to travel very far, like from India to Hawaii, then he'd take one flight and then stop over somewhere for a day, and then take a whole other flight. And meanwhile, he underwent day-night jet lag syndrome. But of course, he was always transcendental. But showing us to what length he wants his preachers to go to preach his mission. In fact, I was just editing morning walk of 2009 when he was telling the devotees that I travel all around the world, even at this old age. So I want my followers, my disciples, to do that too. Not that, well, what if 2 hours is enough? And I don't really feel like going out and preaching and giving out books. Everywhere Gurudev goes, not only does he talk about these particular themes, but in every single festival, he talks about distributing books. They go today? Okay. Or if anybody else can take them, it doesn't necessarily have to be her. The girls already have experience. Drewy has experience. Anna has experience. The Mexican girls, a couple of them have experience. It's just a matter of making them. with the book. Mm-hmm. There's a wealth of it. In fact, I'm 43 days to say that. So every year, he would talk about book distribution, and there would always be a booth or a table at the section in the temple room, or just outside the temple room. And every year he would say, I want to be exactly like Srila Prabhupada. Because when he was there, his young teenage girls would give up their teenage fun and go to seaports, airports, malls, everywhere to distribute his books. Then he would say, so we have a bookstore here. And I want that in 2 or 3 days, all of the books and all of the posters will be completely disappeared. If they weren't disappeared in 1 or 2 days, then he would make another announcement and say, I see there's still some books left, still some posters left. If by the end of the session, books and posters are in God, then I will think that my disciples are not your books. When you say, take as many as you can and distribute them to whoever you need, your friends, relatives, and whoever you need. And as our little prophet used to say, we take means to increase our family numbers. I remember back in 1997, in Baghdad, when he first came back to Africa, before he started getting in the habit of saying, my whole book is called to be empty, he'd say, I want every one of you, and there was about 600 devotees at the festival, to say, I want every one of you to make at least 10 books. That so many books can be distributed from here. So another theme, like Prabhupada was with me when we were in Lake Huntington. Remember that? In Upper New York State, when Srila Gurudev discussed the theme that he would also discuss at least in one city every single year. And this is one of the chapters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he said we must know. And not knowing it, we cannot understand one ancient subject. There are 5 chapters and 5 subject matters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. See how they're working together, Prabhupada and Gurudev. Because Prabhupada gave us the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. If Gurudev said, it only needs 5 chapters, well, wow, what happened? So one chapter is what we were reading a few weeks ago, which is Adiguna chapter 4, which is the reason why Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next chapter is Maja Lila, all of it. Ishirada Gopinath, Jai. Hitachinanda, Lord.
Thank you.
Body was in it, Pat. So Gurudev said Prabhupada did this wonderful thing, but then as soon as he left, Kal took over. And similarly, as soon as I leave, Kal will take over. So in order to fight it off, unity, harmony, to commitments, honoring our commitments, our responsibilities, honoring each other, old, new devotee, doesn't matter, even honoring an aunt, honoring all general people, serving Thakurji, always remembering Krishna, Radharani, their associates, Gurudev, Prabhupada, never thinking, that person, that situation. In fact, once I remember, because there's a flood of memories that are coming, because I gave it the title, Gurudev's World Tours. So a flood of memories are coming on that. So about 5 or 6 years ago, Srila Gurudev came to Mwilimba, Australia. And at that time, in his arrival address, he said, always remember three verses.
Our time is up now, so I'll tell you the verses tomorrow. Remind me. Because they're all in relation to humility and honoring others. He said, don't think, oh, so-and-so is the cause of my problem. Oh, he's the cause of my suffering. He said, I'm the cause of my suffering. So in that, with that understanding, we remember three verses. He said, always keep this in your heart. One of them is Trinadapi Sunichena, always thinking myself lower than the grass, more tolerant than the tree, offering all respects to others and not desiring any for myself. Another one is, Tatenu Kampam, that is whenever any suffering is coming, thinking that it's the mercy of the Lord and I deserve much worse. So increasing my offering of obeisances to the Lord with my body, mind, and words and services. And thus I become an heir to the kingdom of God. And the third one is, the third line is Bita Raga Bayakroda Sita Dir Muneruchite. And the first two lines is one who is not elated when there's happiness, or disturbed when there's a distressing situation, thank you, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger. He is known to be a sage of steady mind. So I'll repeat that. What?
Dukeshu
anuvignamana. Dukeshu dukeshva anuvigna manaha. Sukeshu Vigata Vigata Spuha Sita Raga Baya Krodha Sita Dhyaya Munirukite. When it was not excited when there is happiness, or who is disturbed when there is threefold misery, and it was free from attachment, fear, and anger, he's understood to be a sage of steady mind. The other one who in the midst of all suffering sees it as the mercy of Krishna and thus increases his offering of obeisances and services of his body, mind, and words, he becomes an heir to the kingdom of God. When Srila Gurudev was giving a whole lecture on this subject in France in 1997, he saw that some of the devotees were making garlands, some of them were doing other things. So he said, if somebody else is doing this life, all right, but not when I come all this way from India, and only here for 5 days, 3 days are already over, I want your full attention. Just like when Vyasadeva was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife, her mouth was wide open. Her eyes were wide open. Her ears were wide open. He said, I want you to be just like that during my classes. What happened to his wife when her mouth was wide open? A little bird flew into her mouth and entered into her womb. And then 11 years later took birth as Sukadeva Goswami. That was the parrot of Radharani. And Sukadeva Goswami is the emblem of all knowledge. He's the reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which 5,000 years later was still relishing as ever fresh. So he said, if you keep your eyes wide open, your ears wide open, your mouth wide open, then transcendental knowledge will fly into your mouth. And with that, I'll end for today. Tomorrow we'll talk about more of his Western tours. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Satchinandan Gaura Hari ki jai, Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Shri Janamadevi ki jai, Shri Imritara ki jai. We're surrounded by great personalities. Shri Rasa Stari ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gurudev ki jai, Shri Sundar Arti ki jai, Gopinandu Hari Hari Du.
Could you explain why Gurudev didn't worship the guru, Pramanjari? Yeah, because it's him. That's what I told my husband.
You have to finish those five things you were saying in Krishna Chaitanya tomorrow.
Oh yeah, can you remind me?